And just like when we think about the face of the resurrected Jesus, let's think about the mind of a 13 or 14-year-old girl who is hearing that she's pregnant and the Father is the Holy Spirit. And you know what? Good Catholics that we are, we listen to those words and we think they make sense. How can this be? For I know not man. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you and you will be pregnant with the Most High. And we all just sit there with our stroke-riddled faces and we've just heard what is ridiculous. We've just heard from an angel to a pregnant virgin. Can't happen. It's like a square circle. But it did happen. It did happen. And that pregnant virgin, eventually, after she asks the right question, she simply says those beautiful words that are true to every person who has something to live for. I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to your word. Be it done unto me according to your word. And we hear those outrageous words spoken by the teenage mother of the Most High. We hear those words. And we sit unimpressed. God has given us every reason to live our lives. And if we don't see them, the eye of our heart is not open. My friends, we must live for Christ. We must listen. Not simply for the message of the angel, as wonderful as that might be. And A-Dog, I think you're a great candidate, dude. There you go. You show Christ to the world. Now he went silent. I bet that's the first time that ever happened, isn't it? We must live for Christ. We must live for Christ. When I go down two weeks ago to see my spiritual director, the one whose funeral I had today, I see this incredibly powerful, strong-willed mathematician turned spiritual director. I see her lying in a bed and allowing someone almost the same age as she is feed her pudding because it's all that her Parkinson's riddled body can swallow. I see the powerful become so weak. And yet in her weakness, so powerful because she continued to live for Christ. I know that my good friend, Sister Margaret Ann, I have every reason to believe that she is singing the holy, holy, holy in heaven over and over and over again because that's the only song we know that they sing in heaven. You've heard him say that. And now with all the angels and saints, we sing the song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord. I just hope they have more than one setting. Ricky, make sure, send them up some music, okay? I think if we are to live for Christ, then we know that we must start at the cross. One of the most profound and beautiful pieces of scripture, in my view, is the fact that when the life of the world hung dead on the cross, there were but two disciples who stood at the foot of that cross, his mother and his beloved disciple. My friends, I think we must understand faith and courage and the strongest desire ever to live for Christ kept them fearless in that moment at the foot of that cross, believing that what he said would come to pass, believing that on the third day he would rise again. I know that's what kept my friend, Sister Margaret Ann, going, is that on the last day, she trusted that she would rise again with Christ. And Mary and John, they stand at the foot of the cross, and Jesus has that most tender, that most beautiful exchange with them. And it's then that I believe the sword must have pierced her heart like never before, when in ultimate compassion, Christ looked down from his innocent suffering and says to his beloved, blessed mother, "Woman, behold your son." I wonder if she thought for a split second, "No, you are my son. Don't tell me that this man is my son. You are my son." But I suspect she understood that he, John, was Jesus' brother. And that made him, that made her his mother. How incredibly piercing it must have been to her most pure heart to hear those words that were no doubt spoken as compassion, but must have pierced her heart with pain beyond all telling. And yet, she did not run. She did not hide like the rock upon which the church would be built. She did not go away. She did not call it quits. She believed because she had always lived for Christ. My friends, living for Christ takes us through those difficult days of being ill, takes us through those difficult days of being out of sorts, takes us through those difficult days of suffering and pain, of grief and sorrow. Living for Christ gets us through that because we come back to the cross. We come back to the cross, and there we find our strength. There we know the way. There, with Mary and John, we know who our brothers and who our sisters and who our mother, the church, truly is. If we will come to the cross, then, my friends, there will be no question of our unending gratitude. There will be no question as to how generous we must be, particularly with our forgiveness, if that is our model. And my friends, if we will but come to the cross, if we will come to the cross and find there not only reason for sorrow, not only reason for shame for our sins, but especially faith that allows us to live for him with something to say that is always love, then we know exactly why God looked upon our mothers, upon our fathers, and decided that we should have life, and have life in abundance, and become the very people we are called to be. At the cross, my friends, we will find gratitude. At the cross, we will find the ultimate example of generosity. And at the cross, we will live the life that is ours.